Well, as it's been mentioned, we're our new early fall series, I Love My Church, week one. Let's pray together. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts prove to be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and salvation. Amen. Well, there are different places, different locations that we have to visit from time to time. These are not the long-for destinations, hope-for destinations like Walt Disney World, but they're routine places or places that we find ourselves visiting during a particular season in our life. So I'm going to need your help this morning. I'm going to show you some places on the screen, and I want I'm going to conduct a congregational poll. And the poll will be the enthusiasm of your clapping when you see the place that I'm going to show you, how much you love going to that place. It's okay to clap in church for this poll. I promise God is not going to strike anyone with lightning. It doesn't need to be awakened. God is here. So just help me out here. This is the easiest, simplest way to do a poll. So let's take a look at some of these places. You tell me how enthusiastic you are to visit them. Okay, number one, movie theater. Really? Not more than that? I mean, even if the movie's D grade or F grade, there's still movie theater popcorn. I mean, doesn't matter how bad the movie is. Okay, how about this place? A school. Well, come on, students. You love going to school. And, of course, a couple weeks ago, believe me, there were a lot of parents in this church that were clapping this way when school was back in session. Now, to be fair and balanced, I'm going to show you two places, so whichever your favorite is. How about these? All right, now we got some enthusiasm. Many of us love visiting Columbus, the Shoe, on a fall afternoon, or to Ann Arbor, to the Big House. Now, how would you rate this place? How much do you love to go here? Yeah, we've got a couple dentists in the congregation today. Yes, 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 yes. And I don't know about you, but when I visit this place, my gums are always bleeding as I'm trying to catch up from 6 months of not flossing as I should. Dentists, those who work in dental offices, we love you. You provide an essential service. But to be honest with you, your chair, your waiting room is not one of our favorite places on earth. So how about with a poll? How many people love this place? Ooh, actually at 8:30, there was some hissing when this one went up, believe it or not. But to be fair, you know, this summer I did have this car accident. They totaled my Volkswagen. I was able to purchase a used car. And a couple weeks ago, I went to the BMV in Sylvania. I was in and out. The customer service was better than I've ever had there. And so I'm going to give them a Google rating of 2 stars. 2 stars. That'll be the first for the BMV. Of course, most of us don't love visiting the License Bureau. Now, I'm going to ask you to hold off on your applause on this one. And I want you to reflect honestly for a moment. What do you feel? How do you feel when you enter this space? More importantly, because the Archbishop of Canterbury once said that the church is the only institution which exists for the benefit of its non-members. This morning, you could hear the traffic outside. You could hear the cars passing in front of the church. And knowing that in our increasingly accelerating secular culture, where by far the fastest growing isn't Islam, isn't Roman Catholicism, isn't any brand of Protestant. The fastest growing segment in America are those who have no religious affiliation or have no connection with a congregation. As they drive by our church today, how do you think they feel? Do they feel love for the church? Do you think some carrying them to somewhere, some other place other than a church, do you think some of them feel disdain? Perhaps most are indifferent. Don't even think twice about it. Well, friends, as we launch into this all-church focus, I love my church, let's just name the reality that for most people, and even most Christians who are a member of a church, for most of us, when we think of church, we think of a building, or we think of an institution. However, this is not Jesus' idea at all about what the church is. The Lord of the church, Jesus Christ, shared his vision for his church, what it was to be and what the church was to do on the night or the last night of his earthly life. In John's gospel, after Jesus washes the 24 feet of his disciples, this group of followers he has been pouring his life into in order to prepare them to be the leader of the church, which was about to be born, Jesus takes them from the upper room and leads them into a dark garden, and he has one of the most important conversations he ever has with his disciples, because he's now here to share the vision for his church. From a scholarly perspective, this conversation is called Jesus's farewell discourse. That's what they call it, this conversation he has in a dark garden. But practically, spiritually, it can be named something more dynamic. Just hours before his death outside the city of Jerusalem, just a few days before his glorious resurrection from the dead, and just 50 days before Pentecost, when those same disciples will be back up in that upper room, God will pour out the Holy Spirit upon them, and the church will be birthed. The church that was then, that is now, and the church which is eternal. Jesus has a conversation. It's a visionary conversation. He shares his dream. The farewell discourse could be also described as Jesus' dream for his church. In this visionary address, Jesus envisions his church as unified, growing, and connected to him as branches, fruit-bearing branches, are connected to the vine. And do you know how Jesus begins, "I have a dream for my church" speech? He begins it with a new commandment. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. No mentions of buildings. No mention of programs. No mention of church governance or the ordering of the life of the church. No mention of any particular rituals. The first and the last word that Jesus speaks as an aspiration for his people. One word. Love. That's what the church is to be about. Love. It is truly that simple. Jesus envisioned his followers then, now, and tomorrow as a people who deeply love one another. He envisions his church as a community of the heart who love each other the same way, the very same way that Jesus loves us. And how did Jesus love? Well, before he gave the new commandment, just moments before he led them to the garden, he showed what love looked like when the Son of God, the Lord of the universe, was on his knees with a basin of water and a towel around his neck as he washed 24 dirty feet. Love. Love is always humble. And then, in a matter of hours, on Friday noon, Jesus will show the nature of sacrificial love as he dies for them, he dies for us, and he dies for the world. Love that is practiced, the love that Jesus has loved us with, and the love that we are to love each other with is always sacrificial. Jesus' vision for the church, it's not a building, it's not a steeple, it's not a program, it's certainly not a denomination. His vision of church is relational. People who strive to love one another just as Jesus has loved us. Jesus first shared his new commandment for his church in that garden. And from the soil of that garden, the first church took root, sprouted, and grew. Actually, if you want to understand the rest of the New Testament, what the rest of the New Testament is largely about, it's largely the church talking about how it enfleshes, how it embodies this commandment of Jesus, the first commandment for his church, that you love one another. For example, the Apostle Paul, he is the writer of most of the New Testament. Paul talks time and time again about this mantra, love each other as I have loved you. He gives it skin and bones, shows the church how it embodies. To the Colossians, Paul writes, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. To the Romans, he wrote, love one another with a brotherly or sisterly affection. Outdo one another in showing each other honor. And we're familiar with this passage. We often hear it on a Saturday afternoon at 4:30 in a place like this, at a wedding service. But make no mistake about it, the Apostle Paul, when he penned these words to the Corinthians, he was not writing to a young couple about to be married. He was writing to the church, bringing it back to its base commandment, love. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Hear this, church. Love does not demand its own way. It's not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. Peppering the New Testament, then, we find a series of what we call one another commandments. They're all over the New Testament. There's actually 51 of them in total. I mean, I'm not going to share all 51 with you, but here's a sampling. Again, the church taking the mantra of Jesus, love each other, and then showing practically how that's to look like. Encourage one another, bear with one another, pray for one another, be at peace with one another, forgive one another, serve one another in love, spur on one another, submit to one another as Christ submitted, be kind and compassionate to one another, and multiple times, particularly in the Johannine epistles, love one another, love one another, love one another. These one another instructions in their practice assisted the first church, the first Christians, to embody Jesus' first aspiration for his church. It's about love. People loving as deeply as Jesus loves us. So practically speaking, the question becomes, well, do you love your church? Or the question becomes, how do I come to love my church today more than when I first came to my church or last year? How do I come to grow in my love for this gift, God's gift in my life, my church family? Well, I think we might get a hint from the singer John Mayer. He gives us a clue in his mellow song that's entitled Love is a Verb. Here's a few of the lyrics. Love is a verb, it ain't a thing. It's not something you own, it's not something you scream. When you show me love, I don't need your words. Yeah, love ain't a thing, love is a verb. Love ain't a thing, love is a verb. It's easy to profess with our lips love, cheap love. But love, the love of God shown to us in and through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is about priority, making a priority, and then commitments that flow. It's all about action. Love is a verb. Jesus, before he gave that commandment, showed them on the floor as he washed their feet. So here are some practical steps you and I can take in order to generate more love for our church, this gift of God in our lives. Number one, you love by connecting. Jesus was all about relationships, and the church is all about relationships. You know, take time in this season. It's a new season to reach out to someone you don't know, to begin a new relationship. That can happen in the lobby. That can happen at a church event like Trunk or Treat coming up. It can happen in your committee or your work area or your small group or class. You see, brothers and sisters, in a congregation of this size, Epworth is really a series of many congregations that we come together for big events like worship. But you need to find your place. You need to find your tribe and your people. You learn their name. You hear their story. You're with them, just like we heard from this powerful testimony. The church is about relationships. Do you know people? Are you reaching out to build new relationships? Number two, you love by serving. Loving someone means that you are moved beyond yourself to do something for someone else. If service is not part of our language of love, is it love at all? And what is so unique, what's so amazing, is that you have been uniquely gifted. Actually, it occurred in your baptism. You've been uniquely gifted as a baptized believer with some gifts. A one gift or a series of gifts that God has entrusted to you so that you can help build a healthy body of Christ and help the church fulfill its kingdom mission. In essence, you've been given like superpowers that you use, and when it's joined with other people's gifts, ministry happens. Lives and communities are changed. We're going to talk about that more in this series. You love by giving. Yes, we're unashamed about talking about sacrificial giving in the life of this, the Church of Jesus Christ. Because you see, brothers and sisters, your purse or your wallet and my wallet certainly point to what we love and who we love. For example, if my wallet could talk, it would talk at length about how many grande vanilla lattes I buy every week. That's a love for me. But at a much deeper level, we know that generosity and love go hand in hand. Hopefully, you love your spouse and you're generous with your spouse. Hopefully, you love your kids and you provide for their needs. I mean, you just don't tell them you love them, you provide for them. Same with your grandkids. Same with causes that you're passionate about beyond God's plan A for redemption of the world, the church of Jesus. The cross that we focus upon every time we gather to worship the triune God stands with us as a clear, clear sign of how much God gave. God gave it all so that we may be eternally saved, have a purpose beyond a paycheck, make a difference in this world that God loves. You love, you want to grow in love, you love, you grow by sharing love. The big theological idea of the morning. When we think about creation and our still expanding universe at this moment, we understand that the triune God is transcendent. God is above and beyond that which God created. That's part of Christian theology. And we understand that there was so much love within the triune Godhead. Father loving Son, Son loving Spirit, Spirit loving Father. Each of them loving each other in turn. That so much love was generated that that love needed to be shared, and thus the universe was born. You and I were created. So much love was generated. Brothers and sisters, the goal when Jesus says to the church, love each other, is not to simply have a kumbaya circle where just a small group of people love one another. So much love is generated, love like the Godhead generated, so that there is so much love, it has to pour out from this place. and touch and impact the community, Toledo, that God has given Epworth to serve. We share God's love. We have a passion that is born of love, especially for those people, so many, ever increasing in our community, who don't have what you and I have. A spiritual family. They can't tell a story like Alan told. Those are the people we want. Those are the people that Jesus is leading us to reach. And finally, you want to grow in love? You love by committing. I've been blessed this summer to be presiding at some great weddings. The Bishop Northrup's, they're here today. Beautiful wedding back in July, for example. And it's beautiful when a couple stands up here, they take hands, they speak their vows, they make these promises. And then as a pastor over the years, watching them embody the promise, the vows that they've made. Next Sunday, we're going to be taking in new members in this place. That's always exciting. We've got a big group tonight for new members' dinner. It's going to be great. And they're going to stand before us, and they're going to make some solid commitments as they take the step to become members of the church. And as members, you're going to reaffirm your commitments, the vows you've made to support the church with your prayers, presence, gifts, service, etc. Love, the texture of love, if it's real, is commitment. You want to grow in love in any relationship, you deepen the commitment. Same with the Church of Jesus Christ. Friends, it's my hope, our hope, that in this season, all of us grow to love Epworth more today than we did yesterday. Because in the end, what the church is about is a loved by God people who commit to love one another deeply. Love each other as Jesus has first loved us. And who knows, if we love each other with such depth, with such commitment and passion, if we can turn up the temperature of love in this place, so much love that it absolutely needs to spill out to touch this community, who knows, we may just change the opinion of some people driving by this church. Church ain't a building. Church ain't a steeple. Church certainly is not a denomination. The church, brothers and sisters, are the people. People who love. Thanks be to God.